is hope. And this hope is in a lion. All of a sudden, John gets this image in his mind. Wow. Okay. A lion is about to take the book and open it. A lion is about to approach the king of the universe. I can just see that lion reaching out with those big teeth and grabbing that seal out of the hand of the Almighty. A lion has prevailed to open it. Has prevailed. Wow. Notice the word prevailed. Not a lion will show up. No, a lion has come through something. Prevailed means I fought and won. Prevailed means I have been through the fire and I'm on the other side. Does any, you know, I'm going to write a book on this one day. I've been threatening it for years. I told someone yesterday, I said, I got to write this book. I don't know when I'm going to do it. It's called Living on the Other Side of Grace. Is there anybody in the room that has lived on the other side of grace when you didn't think there was another tomorrow and it looked like it was over, but here comes grace and mercy and cleans up your mess and gives you hope when you thought there was no hope and gives you a future when you thought there was no future? Is there any witness in the room that says, I've lived on the other side of grace? It's good over there, though. Air is clean. The view is great on the other side of grace. This lion has prevailed. This lion has come through something. Prevailed means that he has conquered. It means he went into battle and came back out. This means he didn't die in the valley of the shadow of death. This means he didn't die on the battlefield. This means this lion has prevailed over things that killed somebody else, but it did not touch the lion. John is so excited because he understands this language. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Woo! That's exciting, isn't it? I mean, that's Messiah language. So the prophecy was that there, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now understand, before I disappoint anyone, no one's ever seen this lion. It is a title, not a character. It is an emblem of success. So when John sees this imagery in his mind, he's thinking roaring lion, beast, mighty king of the jungle. He is about to show up, and I can just, you know, he's ready for Mufasa, or he's ready for, what's the one on Narnia, what's his name? Aslan. He's ready for Aslan to show up. Big, huge, mighty lion. He's waiting on Aslan to show up. But he looks around, he can't find him. John's still crying because he's waiting on a lion, but who is the lion? I got a problem here, John. What is the lion? Where is the lion? Is this lion really a lion at all? I mean, that's the prophecy. Messiah will be the lion of the tribe of Judah because that was Judah's emblem. Now understand that every Jewish flag had an animal on it. The emblem of Judah was the lion. Someone from Judah's line will prevail, L-I-N-E. And they will be the lion of the tribe of Judah. But John's still sad because he cannot find a lion yet in heaven. Verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 24 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. What? How can that be? Stood a lamb, and not just a lamb, a wounded lamb. A lamb as though it had been slain. And he mentions the seven horns and the seven heads and all of those. That's another sermon for another day. He says that he came and he took the scroll. Wait a minute, Dr. B. What are you saying here? That wounded lamb walked up to the king of the universe who had lightning flashing and the scroll of the future in his right hand, and that broken lamb, that bloody lamb, that wounded lamb walked up to that throne and took the scroll out of the hands of the Almighty. John was wanting to see a lion, and instead he sees a lamb. He still can't understand, how can this be the one? How can it be that a lamb takes it? I mean, of all the creatures, why not a dragon? Why not? Why not a big whale? Why not a mighty beast? Bear, a grizzly bear, but a lamb is the one we've been looking for. A lamb is the one we've been waiting on. Why a lamb? Why a lamb? I'm so glad you asked. Because this lamb is different from any other lamb you have ever seen. This is not just a lamb. This lamb shows up in a battle. And one of the craziest, wildest, profound scriptures in all the Bible shows up. And it's a mind-blowing scripture if you understand what is going on. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 7 that a dragon shows up to a battlefield on the earth. Not just any dragon, a seven-headed dragon shows up to devour the earth, and he says, is there anybody who'll come out and fight with me? It was kind of a David Goliath moment. Here walks a lamb, a hobbling, bloody, broken lamb out on the battlefield. And that dragon said, what? Are you kidding me? That's what you sent me? Just like David and Goliath. You sent me a boy with a slingshot and he's gonna win the Philistine war? A boy, really? How are you gonna turn that around? And this dragon invades the earth, which represents government and religion, and this mighty dragon is spewing its torment and fear upon the earth. And here hobbles this old lamb. And I hope there was a movie rolling somewhere. I hope some angel had an iPhone. I hope somebody was taking a picture of this somewhere, because when I get to heaven, I want to see how it happened, because the Bible doesn't tell us how it happened, but the Bible does say one phrase, the Lamb has overcome. That means the Lamb has beat the dragon. Wait a minute. How can a lamb beat a dragon? How can God? I'll tell you how a lamb can beat a dragon. The same way God's about to deliver you. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, those things that are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring about those things that are, that no flesh could glory in his presence. You know I'm a shouter, so can I just shout for a minute? Because I know what I'm thinking here. God is saying, I'm going to turn it around in a way that you at least expected. I'm going to bring hope in a way you weren't looking for it. Because, why are you doing it that way, God? Because I want the glory all by myself. If I let you deliver yourself, they're going to say you did it. If I let your uncle bail you out, they're going to say he did it. If I let the pastor do it, they're going to say he did it. But God said, I'm going to lead you through a valley. I'm going to take you through a storm. I'm going to be the fourth man in your fire. You're going to be like John. It looks like there's no way out. And God says, I'm going to send the most unlikely person to bless you. I'm going to send somebody you've never met. You might not even like them, but God said, I'm about to turn it around in a way that only God can get the glory. You know what? If Clay helps me, they're going to say, boy, that Clay really bailed Pastor B out. If Faith helps me, they're going to say, oh, that redhead, he's lucky he's got her because she bailed out Dr. B. But if I'm in a mess and she can't help me and he can't help me and you can't help me and nobody can help me, and then 2 months later you see me walking in victory, you're going to say only one thing: God did it all by himself. God turned it around. God made it happen. God came through, and nobody gets the glory but the Lord.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
A lion expected, a lamb took them by surprise. There stood a lamb as though it had been slain. It's not just a lamb, it is a broken lamb, a bloody lamb. It looks like one thing, but it's really another thing. It looks like death, but it's really resurrection. It looks like stripes, but it's really healing. It looks like blood, but it's really deliverance. It looks like they buried his name, and instead they exalted his name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, it looks like the devil's won, but instead, when they nailed the last heel into the cross, Jesus said, I put every demon under my feet and made a public spectacle of them openly. He went into the heart of the earth and brought back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. What looked like a defeat was actually a victory. What looked like a cross was actually a crown. And when God wants to get the glory, he will set you up to where he's the only one that can get the credit. This lamb shows up over and over in the most unlikely places. He shows up. No fanfare, no warning in advance. He just shows up when you least expect him. This lamb walked out of a tomb when no one expected it. They thought he was dead, but he got up and walked out. This lamb may send you the gift of patience through the life of a teenager in your house. This lamb may send you through the best times of your life after you've gone out of the hardest times of your life. You may think you're headed into a valley, but there may be a treasure buried there. You may think you're climbing a mountain, but it may be the best view you have ever seen. When God wanted to bring life, he brought life through death. That makes no sense. When God wanted to bring peace on earth, he brought it through chaos. When God wanted to bring strength, he brought it through weakness. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. When God wants to do it, he does it in a way that nobody can get the glory but him. God didn't open the book, and thank God he didn't open the book. If a judge would have opened the book of judgment from his right hand, there would have been no hope for the world. If he would have judged us out of his righteousness in that moment, everyone would have failed. Everyone would have sinned. If God in his great power would have opened the book of the future and hurled the judgments, all would be lost. But instead, a lamb, one who came like us, one who was born of a virgin, one who bled and died, one who walked the path of a man in the sandals of a man, ate the food of a man, laid in the bed of a man, one who is your intercessor, who understands you, one who is your advocate in heaven. He is your lawyer. He is your advocate in heaven because he took the book. Now God said, because you took the book, I'm not going to judge the earth. I'm going to let you judge the earth. And guess what? Your judge is no longer a righteous God that has no choice but holiness. Now your judge comes with mercy, and your judge comes with grace, and your judge comes with a second chance. And now, because he was the only begotten Son of the Father, this Lamb was God's own Son. Now the Father says, I would have judged you as a king, but now I'm going to judge you as a father. You are now an heir and a joint heir. This is your son right here, Chris. And I promise you, if anybody's going to judge him, he'd rather it be you. Maybe not on every day, but he would rather it be you, because a father loves you. A father has mercy for you. A father will go an extra mile for you. So guess what, guys? We're not being judged by a mean God with a big stick that's waiting to get you for that. I don't know who told you that, but that's not the Bible I'm preaching tonight. I'm telling you that a lamb came, and he was slain, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives, you can face tomorrow. And because he died, you have hope. And because Jesus resurrected, you too will be resurrected. Now you're judged by an advocate that gets you. He knows you. He's been tempted in all manner just like you. Now, instead of judgment, you get mercy. Now, instead of judgment, you get grace. Now, instead of judgment, you get a father's love who is going to judge you from a father's heart, not the heart of a judge. Thank God he didn't open the book, but he let the Lamb open the book and gave him the keys to the judgment of the earth. Can you give God praise tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when the Lamb took the book, hope showed up. Verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp of gold and bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Ah, wait a minute. They brought the good stuff out. They could have brought any incense. Frankincense would have done. That's what they used in the tabernacle. Myrrh would have been just fine. The five incense of the altar of incense, that would have been fine. No, don't bring that. Bring the hard stuff. Bring the good stuff. Bring the incense that costs something. Bring me the most costly, the most priceless incense of heaven. Bring me the prayers of the saints. When they prayed, when they felt like giving up. When they prayed, when they couldn't see tomorrow. When they prayed, they got bad news, but prayed anyway. I saw a lady. I was preaching her husband's funeral. This is a dear friend of ours. I was preaching her husband's funeral. She was sitting on the front row. And to my surprise, in the middle of that funeral, while everyone was crying and everyone was grieving, she raised up her hands and stood to her feet. She began to speak in tongues and then began to prophesy to the whole group. I mean, this was the widow. This was the grieving widow in a moment where she should have been more distraught than ever before in her life. As she stands up full of God and power and does something that amazed us all, because it cost her everything. But she said, I put my trust in the Lord up to now. I don't know what my future holds. Listen, she's still alive. She can come and give you that testimony herself. She's still a prayer warrior. She's still a saint, and she's still a church mama today. She's one of our church mothers, but she's still alive today, and she's still full of the Holy Ghost and fire and on fire for the Lord, because there's life beyond the grave. There is life beyond disappointment. There is life beyond tragedy. There is life beyond hurt and pain in this life, because the prayers of the saints are the most costly incense in heaven. Prayers, when people prayed anyway, when we trusted you anyway, when we prayed, praised you anyway. He brought the very best. And all of a sudden, I want you to see this scene. He start pouring out. Here's the Lamb opening the scrolls. The elders don't know what to do. They just fall out in front of the Lamb, start praising God. They bring these bowls, the greatest incense, the most powerful incense heaven has, start pouring them out. I don't know how God smells things. You know, he's a spirit, but the Bible often talks about how God smelled it in his nostrils every time they would burn the incense and every time they would make the brazen altar. And I could just see them pouring out the prayers of the saints and the Lord going, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's my people. They trusted me even when it looked dim. They trusted me even in the hard times and the dark days." And then all of a sudden, verse 9, somebody said, "Listen, we don't even have a song for this. Braden, we don't even have a song for this. There's no song that we can sing about this moment. We've never seen a lamb beat a dragon. We've never seen a lamb come back from the dead. We've never seen God give his only begotten son and brought it back." So they said, all we can do is write new songs. We have no songs. So somebody grabbed the harp and they began to sing new songs. And listen to what they sing. The first song they said was, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue." And when you keep on reading, it says that they had to grab some musical instruments and they began to play because somebody had to write a song about this moment. Somebody had to say what the Lamb had done to redeem everybody on the earth. I don't know what songs they sang. Maybe it was "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." I don't know if that's what they sing. Maybe they sing what you sing tonight. "It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows," that's a song that had never been written, "to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power." Or maybe they sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee." Who knows what they sang? Because new songs had to be written. Because for the first time, there was hope. The future has just been rewritten by a lamb that was slain. Maybe they said this, "Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood." How many of you know that had never been sang before? Nobody had ever thought of singing that before. "Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood." What's the rest of that? There you go. You know that song. "There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." New songs, new worship, new hope, new day. Verse 10, "And have made us kings and priests." Go ahead and begin to play softly, if you will. "They've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice." Listen to this. They changed the song. "Worthy is the Lamb." Worthy is the Lamb. No one's ever said this before in heaven. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I don't know how many of you have ever lost a pet. Now, how many of you have a little pet that you love and you've lost a pet that you love, right? Anybody? All right. I had an old horse that I just loved. He's the best riding horse I ever had, and he died. That'd be mine. An old dog named Husky, an old Malamute that was a good friend. We hiked in the mountains together growing up. I miss that old dog. Still got a picture of him on my phone. But you know what the Bible says for those who have lost hope? Listen to this. Verse 13. I didn't write this. I'm just interpreting it. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are within them. Somebody explain that to me. All that are within them. What does it mean? The ones they ate, right? Every creature in the heaven, every creature, it doesn't say just the ones living now, every creature on the earth, including that pig you had for lunch, that salmon you're going to have tomorrow, that chicken you're going to have in the morning with your eggs, every creature, and that snake you killed yesterday, Josh, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are within them, the ones they ate, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne. And then they use the animal name of Jesus, and to the Lamb forever. So yeah, you're gonna see that pup again. You're gonna see that little cat again. I don't care if I ever see your cat, but you're gonna see your cat again. But you may not want to see my dog either. Every creature. Have you ever thought about that? All things are created for God's glory. What if every single creature that's ever been made is in the animal choir? Yeah. And they're singing. Every time I squash a ant, I say, you're singing in the heavenly choir now. Every time it's kind of a saying. I actually do it. My granddaughters make fun of me. They're afraid of spiders, and I said, listen, let's send them on to the heavenly choir. So now they're saying it. Papa, send him to the heavenly choir. I'll be happy to. What if every single creature that's ever lived, ever barked, ever meowed, ever neighed, ever mooed, that hamburger you ate, that taco you're going to eat tomorrow, every creature, blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb forever. Then the four and living creatures, the last verse, said, amen. This is the seraphim. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lived forever, because a lamb changed the future.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.